Then go down to him, unless you wish to see me murdered at your feet.
Well, Johnny, I went downstairs. Is he in the parlour?
Yes, sir. Take care of yourself, Mr. Criddle.
Oh, don't you worry, I will.
I'll have satisfaction. That's in my rights. Honour, revenge, blood.
What shall I tell him, sir?
Well, tell him the truth, Jemima. Tell him I'm not at home.
Yes, Mr. Criddle.
I found Fisher at the chess club. Spent the night on his sofa. Oh, it's all very awkward. Can't cut and run from Mrs. Roper's because of last quarter's rent. Oh, Johnny, what torments we suffer, you and I, at the hands of the fairer sex.
Mrs. Eames, John, how good to see you both.
I hope we're not too early.
You are just a little early.
But of all our visitors, we would have you with us the longest. How are you, Johnny?
I'm fine, Belle. Fine.
I thought if we're here early, it won't matter. We shan't be in the way.
No, indeed.
Well, Lily.
Yes, John.
Do sit down, Mrs. Eames, and we shall bring you some tea.
Thank you.
I must shake your hand, Lily. And wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
And I very much hope that you and... I'm sorry.
I trust, dearest John, that I shall see much of you when I move to London.
Yes, Lily.
It will be so nice to have an old Guestwick friend near me.
Yes.
I don't at all know yet when we are to be married. Not this year, I suppose.
In the spring, perhaps.
Yes. But whenever it is, we should be so very glad if you could be present on the day. Will you not oblige me?
I would do anything to oblige you, Lily. But not that. I couldn't do that.
I'm surprised at you, Bernard. I'd imagined you would have been down to the small house earlier to help with the preparations.
Oh, no, no. You forget, my dear fellow, that I'm not in love as you are.
Oh, forgive me. I thought you were.
No. In comparison with you, Adolphus, I'm just a half-sort of lover, meditating a marriage of convenience to oblige an uncle. The terms of the agreement don't require me to undergo a very rigid amount of drill, so I thought I'd entrust the task of whipping the creams and tuning the piano to you.
Ah, right.
Ah, here's Lillian. Look, I'll leave you. Good evening, Lily.
And to you, Bernard. And to you also, Mr. Crosby.
Lily, my dearest, you look a picture of perfection.
Oh, thank you, sir. Now, one kiss. And then you must be very good and listen.
Speak.
Now, we have only four young gentlemen, yourself included, and one ungrown, so you must work hard at your dancing tonight.
I shall do that, Lily. At the close of the last waltz, I shall have to be borne off exhausted.
In between dances, you must be introduced to Johnny Eames, and be nice to him.
Johnny Eames, is he the ungrown one?
He is not. I meant the vicar's son. Now, you must also talk to James Crofts.
Ah, Crofts, yes, the village quack.
No, Adolphus. He is the doctor for Guestwick and the surrounding parts. Also, he is assistant surgeon at Guestwick Hospital.
Oh.
Also, he is a dear friend of the family. So you must be nice to him too.
I will, I promise. And may I be nice to Miss Lillian Dale?
You may. You must.
We knew you would be glad to hear of her happiness.
I am. Very glad, Belle. You all like him?
We do. Have you met him yet?
Mm-hmm. Just briefly. I understand he's quite well off. He's a fortunate man.
We think so, Dr. Crofts. Not, however, because he has money.
No, indeed. But because being worthy of such happiness, his circumstances should enable him to marry and to enjoy it, yes?
Well...
In my view, a man has no right to make a woman undergo poverty. He might endure it himself, but it makes a hell on earth for a woman.
Perhaps, Dr. Crofts, for some women. I'm not that much interested in money myself.
Well then, Belle, I fear you are something of a radical. I should like more money than I have, particularly so that I might share it with one I loved. I should think it wrong to ask for a lady's hand on an income such as mine.
Some ladies, of course, have incomes of their own.
They do, yes. But I think I might feel uncomfortable in marrying a girl with money. Anyway, that's altogether out of the question.
Is it?
Yes. Altogether. Well, I suppose one can be as happy, single, as married.
I'm sure one can. Perhaps more so.
Hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have been asked to inform you of the next dance of the waltz.
Adolphus.
Well, Lily, I performed my labours, and this, I believe, is a dance with you, when duty turns to pleasure.
Well, it should be your dance, dearest Adolphus, but Johnny Eames has asked me, and he does look so very miserable.
I yield this once.
Thank you. Did you talk with him?
Oh, yes, I talked. He hardly at all. He's not an ardent conversationalist. Off you go. Alone with Lily, it is different. She is my treasure, then, and she is mine, and I am glad of it. But here, tonight, I feel like a catch. I am a catch, victim for the sacrifice. And it's a sacrifice which seems, as Lily presents it to family and friends, to be not that far off. And of course, each time that the topic of marriage is raised in conversation, it does somehow become more real, more substantial, which I fear I find distressing. Not that I have the slightest intention of breaking from the engagement. I must give up everything, thanks to the despicable conduct of her uncle. But I am prepared to do that. I am not a selfish man.
Don't you like the moon?
Oh, I fancy I like the sun better. I don't quite believe in moonlight. It's best for talking about when one wants to be sentimental.
That's what I fear, that the daylight will come, and I will have to learn that romance will fade like the roses do, or that prose is more serviceable than poetry, that the mind is safer than the heart, that money is better than love. Daylight will come. But I do like the moon.
And the poetry? And the love?
Yes. The love more than the poetry. To be loved by you is better than all the poetry I've read. Sweeter than any of my dreams.
Dearest Lily.
It is the meaning of the moonlight and the essence of the poetry. I never knew before why I liked such things, but I know now. It's because I longed to be loved.
And to love.
Oh, yes. I would be nothing without that. But, Adolphus, this mustn't be the end of our romance. You must like the soft twilight and the long evenings when we shall be alone. And you must tell me that the world isn't hard and dry and cruel. I'm always telling Belle it is, but you mustn't tell me.
It won't be dry and cruel if I can prevent it.
You can prevent it, my dearest. All you must do is...
Be good to you.
Oh, I know you will be good to me. Always. You cannot think surely that I would ever doubt you or distrust you. Now, what I meant was... You must never be ashamed to look at the moonlight. To read poetry.
To talk nonsense.
Such as I am talking now, I think.
If it is nonsense, Lily, it's what I want to hear. More than anything else in the world.
Oh, my love. My love.
Burton Crescent. My dear Johnny, I expect that time is something you have in good supply, stuck out in the country as you are, and with LD otherwise engaged, but thank you for taking some of it to write to Fisher. He showed me the letter before he went off with it to see Lupex. Just the job, I thought. Hardly recognised myself in your splendid testimonial. But what effect it had on Lupex, I can't be certain, for though Fisher read the letter out to him, the wretched Lupex would say nothing save a few ungenerous remarks about his wife. What to do? Was it safe now to leave Fisher's lodgings and return to Burton Crescent? I decided to take my courage in both hands.
Mr. Credell...
Mr. Lupex?
Mr. Credell, your hand. There has been a misunderstanding. Let it be forgotten.
Mr.
Credell, if I know him, is too much a gentleman to bear any anger when another gentleman has offered him his hand.
I'm sure, yes, indeed.
Oh.
Bravo!
Yes, well done.
You are not a married man, Mr. Credell, and therefore you cannot comprehend the workings of a husband's heart. There have been moments, I tell you, when my regard for that woman has been too much for me.
Now, Lupin.
And so it was on that Thursday night.
Friday.
Friday.
Anyway, I'm glad it's all put right now.
Likewise.
I have something to tell you, Lily.
Well, I hope it isn't a flippant remark about my bonnet, for if it is, it can wait till after church.
No, Lily, I said all I had to say about your bonnet last week.
More than you should have said.
Yes, I fear so.
Well, my dearest?
Well, Lily, I'm leaving.
Leaving? When?
On Wednesday.
Oh, Adolphus.
I had to leave sometime.
Of course.
Indeed, I have stayed as long as I possibly could. You see, Lady De Courcy has invited me to go over to Courcy Castle, and I thought, well, it wouldn't do for me to drop everybody.
Oh, no, Adolphus. I don't begrudge your going, but it does seem so sudden.
I've been here 6 weeks and more, you see.
Yes, you've been very good. Wednesday. Oh, there are only 3 days more, then.
Yes, just 3 days. There's something else I have to tell you, I'm afraid, in connection with business. Oh, perhaps I'd better tell you everything.
I would prefer that. Tell me everything.
It's money that's the problem, in part. But when I talk about money, you mustn't suppose it has anything to do with my love for you.
Oh, I wish for your sake that I wasn't such a pauper.
But whether you were rich or poor, my angel, I would love you just the same.
Adolphus, dearest.
Well, then, you know how anxious I've been that our marriage shouldn't be delayed. It is all I desire to call you my own as soon as possible. And yet, unfortunately, I'm not finding things quite so easy as I'd expected.
You mean that you do not think you can afford to marry at once?
Yes. That is it. I had thought, I had hoped that I would. The situation, dearest Lily, is this. You see, well, perhaps I won't go into all the details. Suffice to say that we must wait.
Well, I told you we should. Did I not?
You did, Lily, you did.
A delay will not make me unhappy.
Will it not? As regards myself, I confess I cannot bear the delay with indifference.
No, my love, don't misunderstand me. I have only one wish in the world, and that is to be your wife, and to be able to share everything with you. The sooner we can be together, the better. But till then, I will not be unhappy. How can I be when I feel certain of your love? Anyway, we have 3 days left, and I mean to enjoy them. And after that, you will write to me.
I will write to you and you to me.
Oh, yes.
And I will come at Christmas.
You will?
If you'll have me.
Oh, Adolphus. And next year, when you have your holiday, you will come down to us again, will you not?
You may be quite sure of that.
And so the time will go by until you think we can be married. And I shall not be unhappy. You may be sure of that. Indeed, I shall be the happiest creature on this earth. Believe me, I can endure any troubles, Adolphus. I can endure any cares, however great, as long as I am certain of your love.
Thank you.
2 days remain, and then I must leave Allington. Well, no, not quite must. It was not obligatory to accept Lady de Courcy's invitation, though in truth she doesn't like to be refused. I chose to leave. Oh, Lily, of course, is the dearest of creatures, but I have already been at Allington some 6 weeks, and 6 weeks seems long enough, despite Lily. And anyway, it will be most pleasant to see the de Courcys again, or most of them, before I return to London. Particularly pleasant, I think, to renew my friendship with Lady Alexandrina. 2 days remain.
Not long, Adolphus.
Tuesday, Lily and I will spend quietly, it being our last day together. But tomorrow we thought we might be sociable, for the most part, and ride into Guestwick, along with Bell. Care to make up a foursome?
Why not?
In the morning, Bernard, we could go to the manor, see Lord De Guest and Lady Julia.
Ah, well, that we can't. See Uncle Theodore, I mean. The Earl's almost perpetually occupied with his cattle during daylight hours.
But your aunt?
Oh, yes. She'll be at home.
Ah, good afternoon, Bernard. Miss Bell.
Lily.
Good afternoon, Lady Julia.
Aunt Julia, this is Mr. Adolphus Crosby.
I'm delighted to make your acquaintance, Lady Julia.
Mr. Crosby is a friend of mine who in due course is to become a relative by virtue of marrying Lillian.
Yes, I'd heard of the engagement. My congratulations to the two of you. And I trust, and that is, I hope, that your mutual happiness will be long-lasting.
I hope so too, Lady Julia. I shall try to make it so at least.
We all try, my dear, but many of us fail to try with sufficient energy of purpose.
Oh, by the way, Lady Julia, I think I know some very dear friends of yours.
Really? I don't think I have many very dear friends.
I'm referring to the Gazebys, Mortimer and Lady Emily. I have often heard Lady Emily speak of you.
Ah, yes, the Gazebys. I shall be seeing them next week.
At Courcy Castle, you mean?
Yes.
Ah, well, then I shall have the pleasure of renewing our acquaintance.
Indeed.
Mr. Crosby is leaving for Courcy Castle on Wednesday.
I'm surprised. I would have thought, Mr. Crosby, that having so recently become engaged, you might have opted to stay with your dear fiancé.
Well, I...
But of course, I am a woman of outmoded notions, as you are becoming all too aware.
I think she's horrid, if you'll excuse me for saying so, Bernard.
Well, I'm not fond of her, I confess, even though she is my aunt. But I deny that she's horrid. She's never murdered anyone, or robbed anyone, or stolen away another woman's love.
I should hope not.
No doubt she says her prayers earnestly, gives money to the needy, sacrifices her own wishes to those of Uncle Theodore.
No doubt. Believe me, Bernard, I find her perfectly charming, and I shall be especially civil to her at Courcy Castle.
Well, we shall find more congenial company, I think, under Mrs. Eames's roof.
You're certain of that?
I am. Mrs. Eames, at least, won't tell us to do our duty or to beware of being too beautiful.
She'll not stay very long there, I trust.
Mrs. Eames and Johnny are friends of the family, so you mustn't be in a hurry, Adolphus.
You had your turn with Lady Julia, and we must have ours.
Dear Cradell, I'm glad things seem to have quietened down at Burton Crescent. Expect Mrs. Roper is too. I have little to report on from Guestwick except my general discontent. We had a visit today from my dearest L.D. and her sister, and Bernard, their cousin. And a fourth. Oh, Cradell, it hurts me to see her so happy in love. It hurts especially because the man who was the cause of her bliss is so unworthy of her.
John, of course, you have already met.
Yes, we talked, did we not, of this and that. Pleased to see you again, John. You're a tax man, as I recall.
Yes.
Look favourably upon my papers, should they ever cross your desk. And who, I wonder, gathers tax from the tax gatherers? You must enlighten me sometime.
I'll be blunt about him, Cradell. He's a snob, a swell, and I hate the man. And I tell you what, if there was any way of doing it, I'd fight him.
Some wine, Mr. Crosby?
Oh, thank you, no. I never do take wine in the middle of the day.
But you will have a portion of the cake.
Cake? No, I don't think so. Never take cake either.
Oh. Captain Dale?
No, thank you.
I would love some of your cake, Mrs. Eames. And so would I.
We know your cakes, and we know what we'd be missing.
She'll never be happy with him. I'm sure she won't. Of course, it might upset her if I ever did fight him, and I wouldn't want that at all. But I'm afraid I'd like to fight him anyway.
Goodbye then, Mrs. Eames. Johnny.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, and thank you.
You'll visit us again before too long, both of you?
I hope we will. And you'll come over, John, won't you, before you go back to London?
Yes. Yes, I will. Let me help you up, Lily.
That's my job, if you don't mind.
Send my warmest regards to your mother, Lily.
I will.
Goodbye, Mrs. Eames.
Goodbye, Mr. Crosby.
John. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. I thought we should never be away.
You must not snub my friends, sir.
Snub them? I never snub anybody. Unless, that is, they have absolutely deserved snubbing.
I see. Have I deserved it? Because I seem to have got it.
Nonsense, Lily. I have never snubbed you yet, and I don't think it likely that I shall begin. I'm not uncivil to your friends. I am simply as civil as my nature allows me to be. And anyway...
Yes?
I'm not sure you're very wise at the present to encourage that man's friendship.
Oh, that means I'm very wrong to do so.
No, dearest. If I meant that, I would tell you. My point is simply that from what I have seen and heard, he undoubtedly fancies that he has a romantic attachment to you. He is probably the sort of young man to talk of his fancies, too.
I don't believe for a moment that he would mention my name to anyone.
Well, perhaps I know more about young men than you do.
Yes, I'm sure.
And you must not be surprised if I object to a fellow making free with your name.
No, of course not. But Adolphus...
Yes, my dearest.
You would not wish me to be unkind to so very old a friend as John Eames.
Far from it.
Johnny Eames is nothing to me. Nothing. How can anyone be anything to me when I think of you? My dearest, there is such little time before you leave. Let us not spend it talking of things that are unpleasant.
There was no need to wait for them, I suppose.
I think not. They'll be happy enough on their own.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Belle?
Yes, Bernard?
Am I to have any hope?
Bernard.
Well, I don't think a fella can take no for an answer on a matter such as marriage. Not at the first time of asking, at least.
But I gave you my answer with all honesty and truth.
Oh, no doubt. But, Belle, why should it be so? I could understand it if you were in love with someone else.
I am not in love with someone else.
Exactly. And there are so many reasons why you and I should join our fortunes together.
It cannot be a question of fortune,
do
Bernard.
Do listen to me. Do let me speak, at any rate. I can assume, can I, that you don't dislike me?
Of course I don't. Far from it.
And though you might not accept any man's hand merely on a question of money, you wouldn't, I assume, reject mine for the same reason. Particularly if you were opposing the wishes of those nearest you.
Do you love me?
Oh, yes, I do.
It is not an argument you have over-employed, your love for me.
I assumed it went without saying. Perhaps...
Yes?
Oh, perhaps I love you more than I thought I did. I will not give you up, Belle.
Oh, Bernard, don't say that.
I will say it. And if you say there is no hope, I will not believe you, Belle. My heart is set on this.
Well, I have lost Lily. And to a creature I wouldn't wish on any woman, least of all, I have lost her. And who am I to win on my return to London? Miss Amelia Roper. At least I will do unless I can take effective action. I must write to her. Or if I can't do that, I'll write to her mother. I'll tell her I shall not be coming back to Burton Crescent. Lodgings no longer suit my personal circumstances, and I'd be very much obliged if she could send on my clothes in a bundle to my place of work. Deuced cowardly, that. I'll write to Amelia. I'll have the letter ready for the post this evening. A short note. Very short. But putting the whole sorry business straight, in a pleasant enough way, though. So that she and I can remain on amicable terms. Were we ever on amicable terms? Dear Amelia. My dearest Amelia. My dear Amelia. Dear Amelia. I did not write earlier for fear of giving you pain, but I am bound in honour to tell you the truth and to correct any misapprehension you may be under. Yes, good. And the truth is this, dear Amelia. My heart is not at your disposal.
I will walk you back to the house.
There is no need.
Lily, my dearest Lily, I'm sorry if you think I have been unreasonable or unjust.
I never said that.
Ungenerous, perhaps.
Well, no, no.
You must understand, my Lily. I will be honest with you.
I trust you will always be that.
I suppose I feel, simply, that there must be a quid pro quo, that in return for, oh, how shall I put it, sacrifices that I have made, or have committed myself to making, some accommodation might be forthcoming from you.
Sacrifices, Adolphus? You mean financial sacrifices?
Yes, financial sacrifices. Dearest Lily, you are everything to me. You have quite bowled me over, captivated me. And some people, Lily, might think me a fool to be marrying you, for it is love, and love alone, that has impelled me.
Some people, dearest Adolphus, might have called you a fool if you had married for any other motive.
Oh, indeed. But there are, you see, realities to be faced. I shall begin to face them, I fear, as soon as I return to London. My life till now has been expensive. That's been my way, you know, living up to every shilling, contracting habits of expenditure which it will be difficult, nay, impossible, to lay aside at a day's notice. You see, Lily, I was not prepared for this, for marriage.
Nor could you have been.
Of course. Nor would it have been right for me to go ahead with this important step without advising you of the difficulties.
Dearest Adolphus, trust me. I shall be happy with little. I will be prudent, economical.
No, no, no. A cheap and nasty menage I could not bear, Lily. For your sake, more than mine.
Then I will wait, and patiently too. 7 years, if needs must.
No, that's nonsense. 2, perhaps. And that's a deuce of a bore.
Yes.
Lily, are you angry with me?
No, Adolphus, I'm not angry. How could I be?
Young man.
What?
If you want to catch rheumatism, young man, that's the way to do it.
Oh, Lord De Guest.
Well, it's young Eames, isn't it?
Yes, my lord.
I knew your father, and a very good man he was. Much cleverer than me. Tell me, Eames, what were you doing sleeping here?
I didn't mean to. Sat down to think about something.
Not in any trouble, are you?
Trouble? No, my lord. Not particularly.
Young men do tend to find themselves in trouble when they get up to London. So if you want any advice on that sort of thing, come to me.
Oh, Lily, do you remember the last time we were here?
Yes. Adolphus...
In the summer, I was endeavouring to pitch hay into a cart.
Yes.
But, of course, I was less than accomplished, not least, my dearest, because you were standing by me.
Adolphus, I have something to say to you, and you must listen very carefully.
Yes, Lily?
My dearest, if you wish that all this between us should be over, I will consent.
Lily.
I mean it. And I shall not blame you if you take me at my word.
Are you tired of me?
No, I shall never be tired of you. But I would not be the cause of your ruin.
I have said nothing of being ruined.
Listen, it would not be the end if you left me. I could never, it's true, love anyone as I have loved you. But I have a God and a Saviour, and I can turn to them. Indeed, last night, Adolphus, I will not cling to you. I will not pull you down under the water, drown you in trouble and care. Of course, if you leave me, I will never... All that kind of thing will be over for me. But the world has more than that. Much more. I will make myself happy, I know it.
But Lily, what's happened? Why are you saying all this?
Because it is my duty to say it. I never understood till yesterday. You thought when you proposed to me...
Lily!
You thought I had some fortune. Perhaps I should have told you earlier that it was not so. Anyway, the mistake occurred, and we both have suffered. But we need not deepen the suffering. I can bear to leave you, but I could not endure being the source of your unhappiness. My love, you are free from this moment. Speak to me, Adolphus. Say the word I urge you to.
Lily, are you still in love with me?
You should not need to ask.
Until you tell me that your feelings have changed, I will agree to no parting. Whatever our sufferings, we are indissolubly bound together.
Are we?
I claim the right to tell you my troubles. But I will not let you go.
But Adolphus...
Adolphus has nothing more to say on the subject. He has been misunderstood a little, that's all.
You are certain?
I couldn't be more so.
Oh, my love. My lord. My heart's own darling, always and forever. Wherever you go, Adolphus, my thoughts, at least, shall be like Ruth, and shall never cease from following you. Like Ruth, I declare that where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, there will I die, and there will I be buried.
Oh, my own.
Yes, your own. Your own to take when you please. Your wife. Your servant. Oh, I would that you and I were already alone together, that I might do everything for you. I want to be of use to you, to work for you, to make things for you.
A set of shirts, perhaps, if times get hard?
Yes.
It may come to that yet.
I pray God that it may. I pray God that it may.
Dear Amelia, I know you will think this very unfeeling, but it is for the best. If we married, we should be unhappy because we should have nothing to live on. If I have ever said anything to deceive you, Amelia, I beg your pardon with all my heart. Oh, well. Believe me to be your most sincere friend, and I may say, admirer, John Eames.
I will never distrust you, Adolphus.
I will never give you cause.
I'll never again ask you to give me up or say that I could be happy without you. I can't be happy without you. I must always know that you're mine.
Oh, Lily.
Here comes Bernard.
Goodbye, then.
Bye.
Morning, Lily. When you're ready, old chap.
I'm ready. Well, then, Lily.
Yes.
All set?
All set. Goodbye, Lily.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
I love her. She is a fine, fine girl. I love her. But the rest of it, I confess, I shall find hard to like. Babies, bills, humdrum, dull evenings around a dull fire, disappointment, Lily's, that is, with regard to my efforts as a husband, I shall not be disappointed. I see the future too clearly for that. No more trips to Courcy Castle, no more being among countesses and their daughters. I think I did wrong. I should have seized upon the chance that Lily gave me, taken her at her word, escaped. But I didn't have the heart. I was too kind to the girl. So, well, what of it? There must be more to life than country house gatherings. Why should the fire be dull, the evening dull, if I strive to make it otherwise? I shan't tell anyone at the castle of my engagement. The time will pass more pleasurably there if it is kept a secret, particularly from my dear friend, Lady Alexandrina. And there is, in all conscience, little enough opportunity left to me for pleasure of that sort. Ow!
I was forgetting. Lady Julia will be at Corsic Castle, so the engagement will be known soon enough. Damn! I wish the Dales hadn't sent out the good news with such haste. I suppose it was to tie me down all the faster.
Mr. Crosby, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. You look in excellent health yourself, your ladyship. Good evening, Lord de Courcy.
Oh, yes, good evening. I'm not very well.
Did you have a good journey?
Quite tolerable.
Of course, you have not come far. I gather you've been staying with the De Guests.
Ah, no, not the De Guests. A near neighbour of theirs and a relative, Christopher Dale, at Allington.
Who is this?
Mr. Adolphus Crosby.
Oh.
And how long were you there, Mr. Crosby, at Ellington?
6 weeks.
6 weeks? You must have felt yourself to be growing roots.
Absolutely.
Was the house full all that time?
No, no. There was just Squire Dale and his nephew, Bernard. Bernard is a friend of mine.
A very close friend, to keep you at Ellington so long.
Well, there were the Partridges, too.
Nothing else?
Oh, indeed. There was a widow lady on the same grounds, and her two very nice daughters.
Ah, yes. That makes such a difference, doesn't it?
Your family are all thriving?
Yes, I should think so.
I, of course, have gout.
The Earl has gout.
How is the Lady Alexandrina?
She is very well. At dinner, you are to sit next to her, if that is agreeable.
After here, back to town, I suppose, and the managing the affairs of the nation.
Oh, I fear so. Life must become serious again, despite the occasional party.
Yes. I recall the last occasion on which we met.
At your dear sister Emily's house, you and I had some slight words.
We did, yes.
Though marriage will require me for the most part to give up acquaintances such as the De Courcys, I think it would be very advantageous if I could maintain some sort of friendship with Lady Alexandrina. Lily is a treasure, a dear little thing. But if she got to know Alexandrina, there would be so much she could learn from her in regard to deportment, speech. Dear as Lily is, she lacks style. And Alexandrina has style in abundance, yes, indeed. And beauty. She is a most handsome and fine woman altogether. And she must remain my friend.
Mr. Crosby?
Yes.
You've told me nothing yet about Miss Lillian Dale.
Miss Lillian Dale?
Yes. She's a resident of Allington, I believe, and one who is known to you. But you've neglected to mention her. Is she very pretty?
Oh, undoubtedly.
And is she attractive and clever and all that is delightful? Is she perfect?
Oh, she is very attractive, but I don't think she is perfect.
What are her faults?
Oh, come now, that's hardly fair. Suppose I were asked what were your faults, do you think I would answer?
I'm sure you would, and with a long list. But as to Miss Dale, you ought to think her perfect, you know. If a gentleman were engaged to me, I should expect him to swear that I was the very pink of perfection.
But if the gentleman were not engaged to you?
That would be different.
Well, I am not engaged to you. Such happiness and such honour are, I fear, very far beyond my reach. But I'm sure I would testify to your perfection anywhere.
And if you did, what would Lillian Dale say?
I can't imagine. But I am at liberty to express my opinion, surely.
Oh, you are? How many more months are you to enjoy, then, before you're enslaved?
Lady Alexandrina, you are a friend of mine. There were times past when I was almost rash enough to hope that you were more than that. But you are at least a friend.
Oh, yes. Certainly.
For friendship's sake, then, I would beg from you a great favour.
Yes?
I don't know what it is that you have heard concerning Miss Lillian Dale, but would you be good enough not to connect my name with hers while I am here?
Has there been a quarrel?
No. No quarrel. I can say no more at the present moment. Not, that is, without regret. But I promise that to you, at least, I will explain it all before I leave.
It seems so strange to me still that Lily, of all girls, should have been fancied by someone like Mr. Crosby. Or that she should have liked him. I can't imagine her living in London.
She will be happy wherever she is, Mama, as long as he is good to her and affectionate.
Yes, well, I hope so. Her happiness and yours are all I have to live for.
You don't regret it, do you? You don't distrust Adolphus?
No. No, if I did, I shouldn't have given so ready an assent, but...
The truth is, Mama, you don't like him.
not so cordially as I would have wished. I pray that I like your husband better. Oh, Belle, it's your uncle.
Good day, dear. Good day, Uncle.
What? A fire already? I don't have fires in the morning, not till the 1st of November. But I do like to see a spark in the grate after dinner.
I like a fire when I'm cold.
Yes. Belle, my dear, I want to speak to your mother on a matter of business.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Just for a minute or two.
Do take a seat.
Thank you.
This one here, perhaps. You wouldn't wish to be too close to the fire?
No. I wish to speak to you about Belle.
About Belle?
Yes. As I have no children of my own, Mrs. Dale, those of my two brothers are everything to me.
Well, Bernard is your heir. If he made a good marriage, I know it would be a comfort to you.
Yes, that's just it. And if he and Belle could make a marriage together, it would be a comfort to you too.
Bernard and Belle?
That's right. Belle hasn't spoken to you on the matter.
Not a word.
And you've never thought about it?
Never.
I have. A great deal.
I expect they're talking about your marriage.
Yes, perhaps. Mama doesn't care for Adolphus, does she?
Not as you do, Lily.
Not as I do. Of course she doesn't. But the truth is she doesn't care for him at all.
She has never spoken against him.
She has never spoken in his favour. She would never speak of him at all unless you or I mentioned his name. Oh, Belle, do you think I will make Adolphus happy?
Yes, I do.
Happier than he'd be with anyone else that he might meet. I dare not believe that. You know, I could give him up tomorrow if there was another that would suit him better.
Lily!
It's true. Oh, I wish you were going to be married as well.
Thank you kindly. Perhaps I shall be some day.
You must understand, I don't blame her for refusing him. I'm not angry with her.
I should hope not. You can hardly be angry with her for not being in love.
As I say, I'm not angry. But I think she might give the matter some consideration. You would like such a match, would you not?
Well, I've always liked Bernard. And I believe Belle would be safe with him. But my views are not important. The decision is entirely hers.
Of course. I appreciate that young ladies are not to be compelled these days. Though I do wonder whether they fare any better with their freedom of choice. But surely a word to her from you?
No.
If she were persuaded that it was her duty to give the proposal consideration before it was absolutely refused, well, then, she might soon learn to love him.
That lesson must be learned without a tutor, Mr. Dale, if it can be learned at all.
You won't do anything to help me, then?
I won't do anything to hinder you.
I have set my heart upon this marriage. They are both very dear to me, Belle and Bernard. If I could see them man and wife, I shouldn't much care how soon I left the old place to them.
It's good of you to think of my daughter in this way. Very good. I will, at the least, speak to her of your kindness and love.
Dearest Lily, dearest. Lower down, he writes, "My very own dearest. Oh, my very own dearest, sweetest Adolphus. Dearest Lily, this is the first time I have ever written to you. He doesn't count, of course, the little notes on which my darling sent his compliments when he was at the great house. I was so happy at Allington, but I'm hardly myself among these people. There are a mere one or two I would call companions. Nevertheless, I am not so laid low that I cannot tell you how truly I love you, or how I long...
Lily?
Johnny Eames. John, how do you do?
There was no one in the house.
Oh, I am sorry. Mama and Belle are somewhere in the other grounds.
It's you I want to see, and you did ask me to come over.
Yes.
I'm afraid I still haven't managed to congratulate you properly. But I do so now. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you, John.
What I mean is, I hope you will always be happy in your marriage. But, Lily, I have something else to say.
Yes?
Lily, I love you.
Please don't talk of that now.
I've always loved you. Loved you as well as that man does.
You must not speak of Mr. Crosby in that way.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be disrespectful. You like him, do you not, better than anybody else?
I love him, better than all the world.
That's how I love you. I know how poor I am. You couldn't accept such a one as me, but I had to tell you. I know I've been a fool. I'm a fool now to say these things. I can't help it, though.
Oh, Johnny.
Anyway, I said what I came to say.
You'll find some girl, Johnny. Some girl you really love.
And do I not love you? Really love you?
Johnny.
Well, never mind. Goodbye, Lily. I did badly there. Very badly. I wish, though, she hadn't said what she said about loving Crosby. I suppose she really does feel that she loves him better than all the world. But she needn't have said it. How can she love him anyway? A vile man. He'll bring her nothing but misery. If she chooses to scorn me now, but the time may come.
Hey! Steady! Steady! Back, old fellow! Back! Back!
Heavens, Slaughter Guest.
Hello there. Do you need any help?
I'm coming.
Get back.
Go on, back with you. Don't get too close to me, young man. Keep a little distance. Otherwise, he'll have too much to aim at.
Are you all right, my lord?
Oh, I'm fine. The ball's not. Never been like this before. Oh, here he comes again. Well done. Now for the gate. Quick.
No. Slowly does it. Don't run.
Yes, very well. He's not giving up. He's thinking of having another go.
Well, I'll head this way. See if I can distract him. Hey, you. Here. Here. I rather think it's you he's after.
Great show!
Oh, he's off. No.
Oh! No! Ow! Oh!
Well, there's nothing broken or even sprained.
I should think not.
What about you, John?
He's hurt his trousers the most.
Just a few grazes and cuts, Dr. Crofts.
Well, he dived through the hedge, you know. He's grieving about his hat, too. Would have gone back for it, the fool, if I had restrained him. Ball's got it as his consolation prize.
It seems to me, John, you'll become quite a hero.
Oh, yes. I fear he'll get most of the credit. Yet I was with the bull twice as long as he was. Well, it's all to be preferred to sleeping under trees, I think. That's where I met him last, Dr. Crofts. Asleep under a tree and looking very wretched. He's in love, no doubt. Are you in love, Eames?
I...
Oh, of course you are. What's her name? Mm-hmm. Well, whoever she is, I'm well sure you needn't blush for her. You in love, Doctor?
Well, if I was, my lord, I wouldn't let on. To you, I mean.
Oh, of course you wouldn't. Quite right. Nor if you were in love, would you lie under trees. By the by, did you ever meet the friend that Bernard Dale brought down to Allington? My sister Julia and he are staying at the same house at present. Crosby, I think his name is?
Yes, we met just the once at Mrs. Dale's.
Going to marry one of the girls, I believe.
That's right, Miss Lillian.
They're all connections of ours, the Dales. My other sister Fanny married one of Squire Dale's brothers. Know the Allington Dales well, do you?
Mrs. Dale and her daughters are very old friends of mine. Friends of John here, too.
Yes, indeed.
There's nothing about the elder girl getting married, is there?
Not that I have heard.
Very pretty girl. Shouldn't wonder if she became a wife for her cousin Bernard.
I'm not sure that it's a good thing for cousins to marry.
Oh, they often do. Suit some family arrangements. You'll stay for dinner, both of you.
My lord, I really...
No, you can't refuse me this time, John Eames. Now, I ought to warn you that I may go to sleep immediately after the meal. Lady Julia says I do. She thinks it's a most dangerous practice. As dangerous as sleeping under trees, perhaps. So, on the good doctor's advice, I'm on a strict regimen, generally speaking. But I suppose a man may eat a good dinner after a fight with a bull, eh?
I think I hate this place. Hate its inmates.
And if some of them are not to be hated, they are at least worthy of ridicule. Oh, when I think back to the garden at Allington and my dear little Lily and her sweet sister and mother. But I'm here. I have somehow slipped into this murky region of Tartarus and I can't get out. Lack the will to get out. I suit hell better than heaven, I suppose.
Care for a game?
I can't. Riding gear, I find, is awkward for billiards. And besides, you must put down your cue and talk. You have something to tell me.
Do I?
Yes. You promised when you first came here.
What did I promise?
You know well enough. Not that it's of any special interest to me, but you did promise, so you have aroused my curiosity. Now, sir, you may redeem that promise, or you may let it alone. But I tell you this fairly. No man is so mean in my eyes as a man who fights under false colours.
Oh, I see, and I...
Do forgive me.
Lady Julia.
I didn't realise you were here, the two of you.
Are you intending to be at the table, Lady Julia?
At the table? No, I don't imagine so. My apologies to you both for intruding.
Not at all. Indeed, you weren't.
You have heard, have you, Mr. Crosby, from our dear friend Lily Dale?
Yes. I received a letter only this morning.
How pleasant.
It told, among other things, of your brother's encounter with a bull.
The bull, yes. I was sent a short note.
Dear, oh dear. Lord De Guest wasn't hurt, I hope?
Not at all. A young fellow seems to have fallen from the sky and carried him off on his back. A most entertaining tale.
Yes. Well, I'll leave you.
Wish the Earl had been hurt. Wish I'd been able to tell her that his stupid old neck had been broken.
Mr. Crosby, fie. But to return...
Yes, you had just made the suggestion, I recall, that I was fighting under false colours.
Well, aren't you? I mean, you come into a house like this with a public rumour of your being engaged, and then you conduct yourself as though nothing of the kind had happened.
Alexandrina.
No, sir. No. You have no right to speak to me in that fashion.
You mean you insist upon your title?
All ladies insist upon their title, as you put it, unless they are privileged with greater intimacy than you can claim. You did not, I imagine, call Miss Dale by her Christian name until you'd obtained permission. Well, since you're too cowardly to tell me what you had sworn to tell, I will leave.
No, please stay. I am unhappy. And you should not say words intended to make me more miserable still.
And why are you unhappy?
Why? I will tell you why. It is because the woman I am in love with is not the one I have promised to marry.
A most pitiable predicament, Mr. Crosby. I wonder if you'll find the courage to resolve it.
The die is cast now. I shall break off my engagement with Lily, and then I... It's better this way, so much better. For Lily's well-being, if not for my own. If I don't truly love her, it's a crime, surely, to think of marrying her. Certainly I'd be prepared to cut my own throat, but why cut hers as well? It's my right, it's my obligation to set her free. And by setting her free, of course, I am free in turn to marry Lady Alexandrina, if she'll accept me, which I feel sure she will. Ah, good evening, Lord De Courcy.
What? Oh,
But look, Adolphus, are you convinced that you do not love Lily? Do you not love her anyway as much or as little as you love Alexandrina? Surely you do. And yet Alexandrina is a woman of style, a handsome woman. And by loving her, by marrying her, I mean, I shall become eligible for various benefits pertaining to status and income. I shall have connections. The secretaryship of the General Committee Office, that will become mine for certain. I might have got it anyway, it's true, but there was always an element of doubt. Benefits, real benefits, whereas marriage to Lily, that would only have brought misery. So, what to tell Lily? I am unworthy of her and must freely confess as much. I will write to her, declare that I cannot make her happy, and therefore, as an honest man, I best do my duty by relinquishing the great favour which she has granted me. Yes, keep your head up, Adolphus. Many others, and some great men among them, have gone through this same fire before and emerged unscathed. And yet, you know, Lily was a sweet, sweet soul.
Appalling. Disturbing the house, disgracing herself every day. She should be asked to leave.
Now here stand Lady Alexandrina and her charming sister Emily.
I agree, my dear, wholeheartedly.
Not forgetting Mortimer Gazebee, though it is easy to do so. He and I will become related, I suppose, if I marry Alexandrina. Oh, dear!
Ah, Crosby, come and join us.
Thank you, Gazebee. Lady Emily, Lady Alexandrina.
I hope you've been enjoying your stay. You know we haven't seen that much of you.
That's true, Lady Emily.
You'll have to come and visit us when we're all back in town, won't you, Mortimer?
Indeed you will.
You're very kind. Lady Alexandrina, I wonder if I might have a word.
By all means.
In private.
Oh, very well.
Do excuse us.
Yes?
I told you yesterday, Lady Alexandrina, when I spoke of my engagement, that another woman possessed my heart.
That is true. You did.
Well, you must know to whom I allude.
But I do not know, Mr. Crosby. I'm not a magician.
It is you I love. I'm sure I hardly need to tell you.
Need, yes. Ought, no. Considering that you're engaged to Miss Dale.
I was foolish there, I confess. Though perhaps the situation might have been avoided had you behaved differently when we were last together in London at your sister's party.
Indeed?
Had you been less...
Less what?
Less defiant.
Defiant? It was all my fault.
It doesn't matter now how the blame is to be apportioned. The fact is, I will not marry when I love another. So, Alexandrina, may I hope for an answer?
An answer to what?
Alexandrina, will you be my wife?
Oh, I see. And may I ask how many weeks it is, Mr. Crosby, since you addressed the very same question to Miss Dale?
Look, I have told you everything as I promised I would, and by heaven, Alexandrina, I'll have an answer now!
Mr. Crosby... I declare your fierceness startles me. What if I decline the honour?
I shall think you the most fickle of your sex.
And if I accept?
I'd swear you were the best, the dearest, and the sweetest of women. What is your answer?
My dear Crosby, I have just heard some very, very exciting news. May I congratulate you on behalf both of myself and of Lady Emily?
You may, Gazebee, you may.
It is official, isn't it?
I hope it's about to be. I'm seeing her father now.
Oh, splendid. You are aware, I take it, that I am attorney for the De Courcy family.
Yes, Gazebee.
So, anything on the financial side, settlements and so on, it'll all come through me. Happy to talk as soon as you find it convenient.
Fine, I'm much obliged.
Oh, good luck with the Earl.
Thank you.
Enter!
My lord?
Oh, yes, it's you. I'm not very well, as you see. Seldom am. What's your name again?
Adolphus Crosby, my lord.
And you mean to marry my daughter?
Yes, my lord. I know, of course, that I have no right to look so high.
No, probably not. She might have expected better, and so might her sister. But it's of no concern to me if they wish to marry commoners. My wife informs me you've no fortune, nor has Alexandrina. You know that, do you?
I have a few thousand, and I believe she has as much.
Enough, possibly, to buy bread to keep the two of you from starving. All I'll say is I'll tolerate no nonsense. I've had a woman in here telling me some story about a girl you've made a fool of. Well, that's nothing to me. But you try any knavery with Alexandrina, and you'll find you've made a very serious error. Understand?
Absolutely, my lord.
Good.
You know, I shall be angry with him if he's not a good correspondent.
No, Mama, that you won't, because I won't let you. Please to remember that he is my lover, not yours.
Oh, but, my dearest, I've only to see your face as you watch for the postman.
Then I won't watch for the postman. Not if it makes you have bad thoughts about Adolphus.
Lily!
Well, they are bad thoughts, Mama. I won't have you thinking that he doesn't do everything that is right.
No. Of course not.
We mustn't argue. I've no wish for us to be divided, Mama. Not now, nor when I go to London.
We shall never be really.